Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coleman Had a Dream podcast, a playoff Coleman Had a Dream podcast. In fact, it is Monday today we are recording. Wales are playing Finland, if you didn't know that or lived under a rock, on Thursday this week for a place in the playoff final for Euro 2024. I am joined, as always, by Ruth. How are you doing, Ruth? Are you nervous yet?
I'm getting there. I've actually... Thursday, I feel strangely okay about Thursday. Assuming we get through Thursday, and I know I'm kind of jumping the gun, I'm absolutely terrified about Tuesday. Absolutely terrified. It's very strange. Very strange kind of dichotomy of how I'm feeling at the minute.
I think that I was watching the Liverpool Man United FA Cup game yesterday, which I don't know if you saw, by the way, but was a ridiculous game of football. And it went to extra time. And it was at that exact moment that I thought, oh God, this could go to penalties. And I almost vomited. It was absolutely horrific. But yeah, do you know what set me today? It's a similar sort of thing to you, actually. I was fine. And then I read Chris Price. He was done a brilliant written preview for us. I read his preview where he kind of looks a little bit at the other game, the Estonia-Poland game, and you know how they're fixed. And I was like, oh, Christ, I forgot that this goes on. There's like there's five more days or whatever it is, four more days afterwards. And that was the thing. I was just like, well, this feels disgustingly real all of a sudden. We are going to preview the game for you today, ladies and gents. We're going to look at us. We're going to look at them. We're going to look at team selection, all the usual stuff. And of course, finish with predictably unpredictable predictions, I think is the best way to say it. Before we do, Ruth, I have just given you a glimpse of what feels like Christmas Day in my house today, as the trainers and the home and away shirt have turned up. And I would be remiss of me not to ask your opinion, having a bit closer to real life seeing them. What do you think?
I have to be honest, over the weekend, having looked at a few more pictures, they have actually grown on me. I now think I still think I prefer the home over the away. There is something about the busyness of the away that I keep kind of drawing back from, and I'm not convinced by the colour either. But they're growing on me. I like the nods to the strip from the mid 70s. I like the little things, you know, like looking at at the trainers, just like the inclusion of the daffodil, the inclusion of the dragon, the FAW dragon, just they're just lovely. Those in particular are lovely. Yeah,
I will say that the trainers are on the back of the heel, I guess, where it normally has the Adidas logo. It says the Gorai Chwarae Seed Chwarae, which I very much like, with a daffodil, and of course it's got the FAW logo on the tongue. These are absolutely lush. I got to say, I'm in love with the trainers. The home shirt has definitely grown on me, and the slashes that we were talking about that are kind of up the side are also sort of on the back and go up under the arms as well, and are the same green, yellow, red as on that Admiral kit you mentioned there. So that's actually much nicer in real life than I thought. I just love the away. I think the away is a future collector's item. My only thing about the away is that as I complimented it last week, I'm now going to go against that. The red of Adidas badge on the away just kind of stands out a bit too much. And on a closer inspection, it's not quite the same shade of red as the dragon on the dragon on my chest, as the saying goes. But I'm certainly not going to be complaining. I think they're really, really nice shirts. So they will be getting an outing at some point this week before Thursday. I have a thing with some kids in school about Adidas trainers, as this is obviously my obsession in life, and I've told them all that if anyone who wears red Adidas trainers on Thursday gets as many house points, positive postcards, and every little thing that they want, as long as they wear their best red trainers on Thursday. So we will see how many of them have listened to me. Ruth, well, let's have a quick look at the weekend very briefly, and in relation to this game. I don't want to talk about the South Wales derby too much, but did you see any of it by any chance?
I didn't. I mean, I've obviously read up on it. I'm aware that Ramsey came on for, what, about 15 minutes at the end, which is encouraging. But you'll have to fill me in a little bit more on how players went.
I don't want to go too deep into it. I mean, Cardiff, especially the first half, were absolutely not at the races, and Swansea deserved to win. Probably should have been more than 1-0 up at half time. But I got to say, I was really impressed with Liam Cullen, his work rate, and his finish was really good. He kind of got away on the left-hand side as the ball comes across. The ball ends up being just a bit behind him when he gets there, but he kind of like flicks it across the keeper into the bottom corner. I thought it was a nice finish. I was glad that Ramsey came on, obviously 15 minutes. Interesting, I've read that he didn't train with the rest of the squad today. But he was obviously there and he kind of trained separately. But I assume that's a recovery thing, having had his first game time for a while. So nothing unusual there. But yeah, two relative positives in the situation. Like I say, I was impressed with Cullen. Also worth noting that Nathan Broadhead got a goal and an assist on the weekend, as well as an assist for Burns. Wes Burns actually been assessed for an injury today, and they're going to make a decision tomorrow on whether he's going to be available or not. Whilst that probably doesn't affect our starting lineup, it does in terms of if we are going to change things or tweak things or go four at the back or whatever. It does limit us perhaps a little bit. We'll get on to that. We'll get that properly in a sec. But overall, a pretty positive weekend, and I don't think, touch wood, that there's any injuries to write home about.
Well, Cabango's pulled out and Joe Lowe's pulled out, but on the scale of things, we could have had a lot more crucial, not, sorry, that sounds nasty, but we could have had more crucial players affected. You never want to see people pulling out, but as I said, it would have, if we'd have lost some other players, we'd have been crying into my coffee this morning. So all in all, that's not so bad.
Very true.
It's
And the
always
Joe.
fear. It's always fearful that, that Sunday, Monday morning after the final weekend before the internationals. So all things considered, and obviously Morgan Fox has come in for coverage, sort of for the pair of them, I suppose, really.
Yeah, and I think it's gone in our favour to an extent that there was a lot of Premier League postponements this week for the FA Cup. Which is something I personally do not want to talk about. But yes, I think Joe Lowe is another one where I think coming into that, part of the reason maybe we picked a 28 is because coming into that, he was missing game time for Wickham and wasn't in the squad for Wickham on the weekend. So I think the Joe Lowe one was always on the cards that he might pull out, it seems. So yeah, nothing hugely concerning to look at there. Let's look at us as we go into what is a terrifyingly large match. I think if we look at the back eight, which would be a goalkeeper, the two fullbacks, three centre halves, and the two holding midfielders, I think we can probably all agree in at least seven of those eight, which is going to be Roberts as a wing back, Rodden, Mepham, and Davis as centre backs, with Nico Williams on the left, Ampadu and James as the holding midfielders. The big first question, I guess, is a goalkeeper of is it going to be Ward or Hennessy? Do you have any shouts you think that's going to be?
I think he'll go with Ward just because that's been the pattern of late. I can see there's an argument for Hennessy. He's a bit more used to these big game situations. He played incredibly well in the playoffs for the World Cup. But that feels far enough away that there isn't, it's not like there's any real momentum from that or anything at the moment. So I think you'll just go with Ward because that's the position we've been in. I agree with you. I think assuming we're going with the back five, and I have no reason to think we won't be, and I certainly hope we are. I think it only really becomes a debate if you start looking at a back four versus a back five, and I just don't think we'll go in there.
No, and I agree with you about Ward. I think he's been the starter over the last few games. I don't see that situation changing. I suppose it kind of depends what you think is going to happen next is the decisive factor there in terms of who gets picked for the other, realistically, well, not realistically, just factually, as that's how football works, three players to make 11. I'm intrigued to know, Ruth. Two things really. One is who would you pick, but also, what do you think will happen? And I'm just going to chuck in one thing in there, which I don't know will sway you in any way. But when they lost to Kazakhstan played with a five at the back, two holding midfields, and that sort of box midfield was exactly how they set up when they beat them 2-1. So I wonder if that may make up. Sorry, that's a lie. I've just told you there. They played the 3-5-2. Sorry, so they had the three holders in the middle, but two kind of up front, and that is how they got a result from that game, especially working it well from crosses. So I'm wondering, do you think that is something that might get into Rob Page's mind that we play with the two up front and the three in midfield, which probably would be Wilson, or how do you see all that playing out?
It's interesting because they do normally play a more 4-3-3 pattern, don't they? And then they tweaked it for that particular game. I would be going with Harry Wilson, Daniel James, and Kiefer Moore. I think Brennan Johnson is the one that makes you stop and think, but he just hasn't done it for us, and I'm not sure I want to bet on him in this situation, which is a terrible thing to say when you think how he's been playing this year. I mean, under normal circumstances, a player like he has been playing for a team like he's playing for at the minute in Spurs and where they are in the Premier League, he'd be in our starting 11, but there's just something that isn't quite working. And I think you've got to have Kiefer Moore there. He's our most reliable goal scorer. Why would you not start him? And then from there, I like that kind of transition play that Wilson provides between Ampadu and Jordan James, and moving the ball forward. I think, yeah, that's where I would go. There might be a case for Broadhead as well, given how well he's playing at the minute. But again, I just don't think he's sort of established enough in our patterns. I think the continuity this provides from some of the games in the autumn is important. So yeah, those are the three I'm going for.
So you would stick with a box midfield ultimately there, with those two.
Yeah,
Interesting. Go
I
on.
think we have to go with what suits us rather than try and second guess what the Finns are gonna do, because it's not an established pattern that they had in that Kazakhstan game. Their established pattern is more the 4-3-3. So I don't think we want to go in second guessing how we play based on
On
some
them.
presumptions and assumptions on them. I think we have to go in what we want to do and how we want to control the game.
I agree. Sorry, I don't know if I explained that poorly or not. I can't remember what I said now, but it was Kazakhstan's, sorry, that set up as the 3-5-2. The Finns played their 4-3-3 as normal. I think looking at that and watching some highlights from that, Kazakhstan did that, I think, because it clogs up that central area. And having looked at some highlights, we'll get to them properly in a minute. I think that is where they are going to be a bigger threat for us, is that central area and trying to play around their three. We're going to try and play around our two. I think in that really in a genuinely central area. So I think that's where the game's going to be won and lost. So as a consequence of that, and I think I can't not play Brennan Johnson, who's playing, for a top four, five Premier League team. So if I was picking the side, I think I would stick with a five and everything else, but I think I would play a three of Wilson, James and Ampadu, because I think that would balance out their three in the middle. But then I would play two up front, which would be more with Johnson off him and give Johnson that kind of license to be Bale, if you like, and kind of roam anywhere. That's what I would do. With that
That's
being said, go on.
my dilemma, is whether you have Johnson rather than James, but I just don't want to rock that particular boat at the minute.
The thing is with that is that the boat being rocked is an interesting one, because ultimately, yes, the game where we beat Croatia and the box midfield, all of that, and it all worked, was great. But then, of course, against Turkey and Armenia, it then didn't work. So, I'm not sure that there is a boat there to be rocked, so to speak. So that's why I would do that, because I think the three in midfield matches up with their three, and then we still have the wide attackers, and we still have a genuine attacking threat there against their four, which would be our genuine two, a genuine pair of Moore and Johnson. With that being said, I do think you're right. I think he will go with that box, because ultimately, Johnson, whilst he, like you say, he hasn't done it for us. James has been pretty reliable for us, and Harry Wilson is probably one of our most informed players at the minute. So I think there's no doubt that he has to be in that team. It's a difficult one though, because obviously everything's on the line here. Do we change because they're playing four at the back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, they're quite a strange team, I think, Finland. They're 60th in the world rankings. We're 29th. They got off to a strong start in their group for the Euros, winning four of their first five after losing to Denmark at the start. After that, they won two of five. They beat Northern Ireland 4-0 and San Marino 2-1. They won all bar one of their games to nil. So every time they win, it is to nil. So I think getting the first goal is going to be key here. And all their losses have been very tight losses. They've only ever they've most often lost by one. I think they only lost by more than one goal once. Interestingly, which is my favourite stat about them, They didn't draw a game in all of 2023 in their 12 matches. And equally,
Yeah.
their last four draws have all been 1-1. So I think it's definitely going to be a very, very tight game. But they have, on average, conceded a goal per game in every one of their something like last 20 games on average. So I also think that whilst it'll be tight, I do think they will give away a chance and concede a goal. What do you think about of the Finns in general?
Well, obviously Lukas Hradecky is their quality player, and you look at how he's leading them, how he's leading Bayer Leverkusen at the minute. He's such a powerhouse in between the sticks for them. Like, looking at their game against the Danes, which they ultimately lost 3-1 to a Højlund hat trick, he kept them in the game. Like, it was just, some of his saves were incredible. So I actually think what you were saying about the first goal might be even more crucial, because you just want to put a bit of pressure on them through that, and perhaps make them open up a little bit, because they've got to come after the game. Their form recently has actually been pretty similar to us. Like, if you they were in a group that was a six-team group, so if you take out the points that they got against San Marino, they finished on 12 points and in third place, which is exactly what we did. Although their ranking looks quite disparate to ours, I'm not sure they're in necessarily such a different position as us. Glenn Kamara, who folks will know from the Leeds team and is obviously very familiar to a lot of our players, he's pretty crucial for them. Looking at some of their games, they do like attacking down the right-hand side, and they looked weaker defensively on their left-hand side as well. So I think we might want to look perhaps at that slightly asymmetric, and I can't remember what game it was, but there was a game where we played slightly asymmetrically, with Connor Roberts going up more and Nico coming back a bit more,
I like
like
shuffling
almost on a
across.
pivot. Yeah, almost on a pivot. And I think we might want to look at that, because it looks like their right side perhaps isn't as quite as strong as their left.
Sorry, I thought you finished. Go on, carry on, sorry.
No, it's interesting how many of their players are playing this side of the Atlantic,
I thought
actually.
that.
They've got a young left-sided defensive midfield called Matty Portola, who plays for DC United. He's basically becoming their Ethan Ampadu. He's maybe had five or six caps so far, but admittedly, it's the start of the season, but he's had a very good start for DC United, probably been their player of the season so far. And he's one of those interesting, is he a fullback? Is he a centre back? Is he a defensive midfielder? They're trying to evaluate at the minute. He's only 21, but I think he's going to become their Ethan Ampadu. He's definitely a kid to keep an eye on.
It's interesting you say that. Daniel Hakans is someone else that I thought would be worth a reference, because he plays for Vålerenga, but he is the same sort of thing. I'm not sure if he's a winger or a full back, and I'm not sure they've quite found a position for him. Equally, Robert Taylor, who plays for Inter Miami, is someone else, as you mentioned there, who plays on your side of the Atlantic, who also looks very good from set pieces. So they definitely contain a lot of threats. I think it's also worth noting, whilst we're talking about their, how many goals they concede and clean sheets or whatever, I think it's worth noting that in the last 2 years since the playoff win against Ukraine, we've only kept two clean sheets in competitive games ourselves, both in the wins against Latvia. So I suppose, for all of the things we're saying about them on not keeping clean sheets, I think they would probably be saying the same about us as well. So I think that means, all what that says to me is that if we're going to win this game, we're going to have to score more than once as well. I don't see us winning this 1-0, to be totally honest. I think their big thing as a weakness is defending crosses. They've also conceded quite a few penalties of late. Conceded against Slovenia, conceded against San Marino, and there was a third one that I've just realised I haven't written down. But they have conceded a penalty against someone. Kazakhstan was the other one. So they do. They have conceded a few penalties, and they do look weak from crosses. In the Kazakhstan game, they got a penalty which came from a cross, which was handball, and the second goal came from a late corner. Equally, the third goal that they conceded against Slovenia was a corner, and that was also a penalty they conceded as well. They also quite like to kind of in with that three they've got in midfield, like to kind of push it up a bit and play a relatively high line against certain teams. So I'm also intrigued to know if they do that as well. Slovenia got in twice against them. One of them led to a goal with like a quick 1-2 and some space, which was left in the midfield, and that led to a chance and a goal on one occasion. So that high line is definitely something we can exploit. And again, another reason why personally I'd be looking at playing Brennan Johnson, who can exploit that space. But they're definitely a decent side. I don't think they're a brilliant side, but they are a decent side. Have you got anything else you wanted to add against them, Ruth?
The other thing I think we might need to be aware of is quick clears from the back with Pukki or Antman running on. And you know, there's been a few occasions lately where, and perhaps not quite so recently, maybe more like 12 months ago, where Rodham was flat-footed or Nico was a bit out of position or Mecca swung and missed or something. I think we just need to be careful with our pressing up from the back and making sure we're not leaving too much space for them to run onto. Because Haradetsky will clear quickly, you know, two-thirds of the way downfield and hope that Pukki or Antman can run onto it, depending exactly who they're playing, obviously. And then I think we've just got to be mindful of that as well.
I agree, and I think that the way they move the ball quickly in midfield and look for those spaces again is something that we've been caught with of late. So I think, as you say, we've got to do that. And again, that's another reason I'd play that three in midfield rather than the box, is just to close up that space. They like the 1-2s and getting in behind quickly. So they're quite a strange side, though. They're very hit and miss and quite inconsistent. So, you know, and I do back us to score against them. It's just whether we'll score the two. That we will most probably need. Where do you think is our strengths in this game, and what do you think is going to, from our side, is going to pose a big threat to them?
Kiefer Moore. I think as you've identified, they're not great on the crosses. I think if we can have him, you know, dropping in, holding up the ball a little bit, making a bit of space for James or Roberts or Nico on either side, and then running on corners, as you've said. I think that's really, I think Kiefer Moore might be pretty key in this game, because I think if you're going to unsettle them, that's where you do it. Haradetsky can take care of shots. If you know, if you're shooting from 15 yards out, even if it's good, and chances are he's seeing it, he's getting it, because he's just such an informed goalkeeper at the minute. It's those kind of ricochets, off the shoulder kind of headers, you know, in a congested box, I think are our best chance.
I agree, and I think, you know, again, I think that the wide areas would be key for us to get balls in there. And again, you know, that's why it's important that Nico and Connor Roberts have big games, that get forward, you know, stretch them out wide, create the extra space in the middle. And again, I think that's a good promising area for us to get at them. I think what's hardest about these sort of games is, as you pointed out, I think we're all quite. We're all we us and them are quite similar sides, and okay, there's 30 places difference in the rankings, but we know that doesn't always count for much. But they're definitely going to be, how do I say it? I mean, obviously they're going to be up for it, but I don't think the rankings tell the full story, I guess, is what I'm trying to say of the whole situation. I think it's going to be a super tight game, and you know, oh God, I'm starting to feel nervous
I mean,
talking about it now.
we're unbeaten against them for, I think it's four games, and but they've been relatively tight. Those ones we had in the Nations League and the friendly, so there's not, like you say, there's not a huge difference, and I think we've got to be on our game, because I think they're in a position to take advantage of you if you are a little bit complacent. I think we've got to be careful that we don't. Little bit like we were in the Turkey game, we were a little bit too passive. You know, we had such energy against Croatia, and then we became incredibly passive against Turkey. I think we've got to be mindful of that. It's a tendency that we have as well.
I think it's also worth noting that the last time that our how important our home record is, because okay, if we ignore the Nations League and we just look at qualifiers, we had that game against Armenia recently, but the last time we lost a qualifier at home, oh, I had this written down. Oh, bloody hell. The last time we lost a qualifier at home was before the World Cup, which is not a great stat because I did write this down and I now can't find where I wrote it down. But the last time we lost a home qualifier that wasn't, there wasn't a Nations League game, was before the World Cup. And it was, if you do, want to talk about some trainers some more, here it is. It's coming up now. Hang on, getting there now. World Cup, there it was. It was the last time we lost a home qualifier, not a Nations League game, was against the Republic of Ireland in 2017.
Again, we remember well, David.
Yes, I was going to say now, as soon as I said
I'm not sure
that,
that's a good. I'm not sure that's a good analogy, actually, given
I'm
what was on the line for that game and what happened.
like, oh God. So yeah, one loss at home in what is basically 6.5 years in qualifiers is a bloody impressive record. And if we look at that Armenia game as the anomaly, then I think there's a lot to be positive about in terms of our home record. And I think it's going to be massive for us. And the atmosphere and everything that goes with that, I think, is just going to be huge. And I really hope that, everyone kind of gets behind us there. Well, I'm sure they will, but it's going to be an amazing atmosphere. And that is going to be really important for us, I think. And that is maybe going to be that extra kind of 10%, if you like, that gets us maybe across the line there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the draw has been incredibly beneficial for us in this. And as we were talking about in the last pod, we're going in with players that are playing for their club teams. Aaron Ramsey's, obviously he's a question. It's interesting we haven't talked about playing him.
Yeah.
He's the only player you'd want fully fit who probably isn't fully fit. We got players in form. We're at home. We're against a team that are ranked 30 places below us. I mean, if we can't get through this, Dave, then we don't deserve to be in the Euros.
Yeah, very true.
That's my feeling.
Let's mention Aaron Ramsey there because you referenced him. What what do you see his role being in this? Because he's definitely, I think, capable of doing something and coming off the bench and making a difference. But I think we're both in agreement that he's not going to start.
Yeah, I think exactly as you described, I think he'd be coming off the bench if we're pretty desperate with 15 minutes to go, I kind of hope we don't need to see him. That would
Yeah.
actually be my preference. Or we're 3-0 up and he comes on for 10 minutes because actually 10 minutes of game time might be quite useful for him. And that's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of hope, yeah. I think if he's coming on to really impact the game, then we've got problems, not because he's coming on, but because we're in a position where we need him to come on.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, equally, if we are trying to see a game out with, 10 minutes to go, we want to play a bit of keep ball. It's great to have that option of someone with that nous and experience who can do something like that. A quick nod, Ruth, at the other game, just for a second. I noted that we are 29th in the world ranking. I thought it was interesting that Poland are 30th. They obviously, the last time we played them, they beat us home and away. Estonia, 133rd in the world. So you'd expect Poland to do the trick there. But equally, as Chris Price mentioned in his preview today, there have been a few surprises over recent times. North Macedonia beating Italy being the most notable one. But I think realistically, if we get through this, we are looking at the polls in the other game, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the assumption on the balance of exactly what you were describing. The polls are at home, the respective ranking differences. We know how tough the polls are to play. They had our number in that Nations League. I realise our eye was on a different ball, as it were, but still, they outplayed us. So yeah, all being well, we'll be facing the winner of that game, and I fully expect it to be Poland.
As our time is winding up here, Ruth, let's move to the last part of our podcast, which is the predictions. I don't really want to think about any potential final just yet, so we'll leave that for hopefully a conversation at the start of next week. Do you want to give us a prediction here?
I think 2-1 to us in a hard nail biting horrible last 20 minutes, much as it was against Ukraine, kind of feel in the game.
I was going to say the same, So in the interest of trying to be different, because if we say 2-1 to Wales, it means if we've both said it, there's absolutely zero chance that that's going to happen. So I'll be a bit different because I was torn between 2-1 and 1-0 to us. I just think we're very, very similar sides in lots and lots of ways. And I just feel like we've got that in the attacking part of the pitch. We've just got that extra little bit of something on options off the bench in James and Brooks and Johnson and whatever else, depending on how it goes, even Ramsey. So I do feel like that extra bit of attacking flair is going to be the thing that makes a difference for us. But I think it's going to be a very, very tight game. We've talked about the quality of the keeper there. That's going to be something that has a bit in big impact on things for us. I don't know. I do think we'll get through this one, but I think, as you say, it's going to be a terrifying, nail biting, very hungover on a Friday, regardless of the outcome that follows. I can't remember if I'm allowed to say this live now, but you've said you've got some plans, but it requires some
Yeah.
tweaking.
I'm off work Thursday, Friday.
Bastard. I don't teach on Friday, so I can't imagine that I'll be in first thing on Friday morning. I'll be totally honest with you. I gave away my ticket yesterday, which was, I'm glad that I sorted
Difficult.
it and got rid of it. But oh Christ, it was a guy called Ellis Fisher. I don't know if you remember, who gave us a photo that he took ages ago of from the corner of
Oh,
the Canter Stand. Yeah, so that was him who got in contact. So I gave him my ticket. So I hope Ellis has a good time. I apologize in advance for the behavior of my pals, who you'll be sat with, who will no doubt not paint a good picture of me. But yeah, it feels very real all of a sudden. And I, as Newcastle bowed out of the FA Cup on the weekend, I was thinking, God, when was the last time I had a good sporting weekend? And I was just like, do you know what? I actually don't want to think about this right now. I don't want to think about what the rest of this week may hold. So let's just pretend everything's fine. Yeah, I'm going to go to the pub up the road, and watch it. They're very tolerant of me in there, so I think Joy's going to come. I'll be bringing Griff the dragon. Shearer the dog is staying home, for common sense purposes. But yeah, it's going to be a good one, he said,
Yeah, well, Al
sighing.
Alan's off work, so we found a sports bar that'll put it on for us, and I think I will go and embarrass him shouting at
Excellent. I
the
think Alan will very much be doing the driving
telly.
on Thursday. Well, there you go, ladies and gents. Thank you very much for listening. Please go to buymeacoffee.com/Coleman's Dream, where you can support us and help keep this podcast free. Please also go to bagsybags.com and use the code CHAD10 for 10% off, where you can get 10% discount, which we also get a little bit of a cut of, to help keep this podcast going. Thank you very much for your time, Ruth.
That was great. Nervous, but yeah, we'll get there. We'll be all right. You're
We'll
right.
get there. We can't be accused of being the podcast of doom today, which is a bonus, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gents. We will hopefully back in buoyant mood with you very, very soon. Good luck to the boys. Good luck to the Wales C boys, who are playing tomorrow, Tuesday night as well. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.